This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 17 minutes to 6. Now, jet lag can absolutely ruin a holiday. And there's nothing worse than being excited about arriving at your destination only to find yourself falling asleep at breakfast or going to bed at night and completely staring at the ceiling. Well, the good news is there are ways to minimise the impact and get over it as soon as you can. Dean Miller is a senior postdoctoral fellow at CQ University. Dean, welcome to Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Dean, why do we experience jet lag? What's going on?
So most simply put, jet lag is a misalignment between our body clock, so what time our body thinks it is, and our external environment. So it makes sense when we fly overseas. That our body's a little bit confused, that most simple description. That's basically why you feel those symptoms.
Is it the same for everyone? Do some of us get it worse than others?
So it does depend per person. What that means is it's very dependent on your sleep patterns. So our body clocks start at a certain time of day. It can be anywhere between 12 and 4 a.m., maybe even as late as 5 a.m., depending on the person, whether you're an early sleeper or a late sleeper, and where that body clock starts affects how you're going to adapt to a certain travel, and that differs depending which way and how far you're traveling. So yeah, it actually is very dependent on the person. So you might travel with your partner, for example, or a friend to Europe, and might hit one of you really hard, and the other person might be okay. So it does depend on the individual.
And that's certainly been my experience. I've travelled with a friend to Europe before and I got it really bad. They didn't get it bad at all and we're getting frustrated because I was feeling tired, you know, first thing in the morning. Does it matter in which direction you are travelling, Dean? So is there there are stories out there that say, okay, if you head forward in time, it's not as bad. What's the story there?
Yeah, typically flying east, people find that harder. Again, dependent on individual sleep patterns, but it basically all is in relation to the time in which you're exposed to sunlight, and that's the most powerful time giver.
Right.
So at a certain period of the day, at either side of the start of your body clock, light will actually push you or pull you in either direction. So if you're getting incidental light exposure at the right time, we can't go too much into it just because the perils of radio, but if you get a lot of light at the right time, you'll move really quickly. It might take you a few days, depending where you are. If you get light at the wrong time, you can get stuck in a holding pattern, basically, and be jet-lagged for up to a couple of weeks if you're doing it at the wrong time. So sometimes people just get lucky, and sometimes they don't.
So when you say getting light at the right time, you're talking about getting sunlight in the morning when we're meant to experience it?
Not necessarily in the morning. It does get a little bit complex, as you said, depending where you're flying. So your body clock, if you're flying to one destination, might start during the night, so there's no sunlight, or it might start at sunrise. So if you get sunlight before your body clock minimum, so when your body clock starts, it'll push you later in the day. And if you get it after that time, it'll push you earlier. So it's largely dependent on your destination and your own sleep patterns, but sometimes what happens is people go, for example, from Melbourne to London, and that incidental light exposure in the afternoon naturally pushes someone to adapt quicker, and then they attribute that change to whatever tactic or tip I've heard, drink warm beer or something like that. We've heard some crazy ones, but it's actually the light that you're getting.
Right, okay. We're chatting with Dean Miller, Senior Postdoctoral Fellow from Central Queensland University, about jet lag and what's the best way to get over it. Dean, what is the best way to avoid the worst jet lag?
The best way, this sounds like a bit of a broken record, but if you read our article, we have a link to a paper that was written by some of our colleagues that actually details what time to get light at certain destinations flying from Australia to England, for example. And the other thing that you can do is supplement with melatonin. That's the only other thing that can mood you considerably. Again, it's very time dependent. So basically planning your trip and planning when you've got to get that sunlight is the most effective strategy.
Should we, when we do wake up in our destination and let's say it is the morning, should we get out, go for a walk, get the sunlight into our eyes, you know, perhaps not wear sunglasses if it's not too glary?
Yeah, correct. So if you've got the sunlight and it's an appropriate time, then yeah, completely get as much sunlight into your eyeballs as possible. So basically that's what triggers the brain is the sunlight into the eyeballs. Which gives the time of day, and also in the afternoon. So as you'll adapt, getting the sun when it's at a lower angle, so at sunrise or sunset, as you gradually adapt to the new time zone, will provide those anchor points, basically. So that's where your brain gets those signals from.
Dean, if we're getting on a flight and we're going somewhere, a long-haul flight, and, you know, we're hopping on the flight, it's nighttime here when we leave, you know, Australia, and normally we would be going to bed, but it's morning overseas. Should we stay up so that our body gets used to that that time before we get to our destination?
It's a good question, and I recommend different things to different people depending on their preferences. I'm a very bad sleeper on a plane, so I don't get much sleep anyway. But if you can get sleep on the plane, I would just say get as much sleep as you can and just get to your destination and worry about the jet lag when you get there. If you're really keen into the scientific side of things and the timing of light exposure, you could try and adapt before you go and try get light at a certain time to adapt to the anticipation for the time change. But with the perils of travel and the unpredictability of flights, etc., I would just say get as much sleep when you can on the route to wherever you're going, and then worry about in training or shifting over to the time zone once you get there. But you can do both.
Dean, I reckon the best solution is get an expert like you on the plane with us, and you can tell us what to do on an individual basis. It sounds quite complex, but thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive today.
No worries at all.
Thank you. That's Dean Miller, Senior Postdoctoral Fellow from Central Queensland University.
Miss the show? Download the Joy Drive podcast. Head to joy.org.au, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.